or your word, not just the book of Romans. And we thank you for how we want to just tell you, Lord, we believe your word is inspired by your spirit. We thank you that it is God-breathed. It is our authority. It's our absolute necessity to know it and read it and understand it. But as we do that, we pray that you would help us by your spirit. We don't want to come, Lord, looking at your word with our own intellect and ability, even if we've been to Bible college or not. Thank you for the work of your spirit in helping us to understand and to apply your truth into our heart. So today I pray for your spirit to speak to me and to all of us here as we consider your wonderful word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rightio, well, I'll start off by saying how most of you, if you know me, I love adventure. Yep, nothing like a good adventure, exploring the place. So obviously, last weekend, fantastic weekend. We're down at the Stirling Ranges. And I know we have great fellowship and we have a lovely campfire. And we had great studies in the book of Daniel. And all that is great and it is really great. But also really great was we're down at the Stirling Ranges. So that means we get to climb things. So we got to climb Mount Magog. And I'm going to have to tell you, Mitch, I reckon that was the hardest climb. It's a grade 5 climb. We haven't done it before, except a group of us did a ridge walk one time across one mountain to that one. But this one was pretty tough. And some of us didn't make it, but many of us did. And fantastic to climb. What adventure and a beautiful view. Beautiful view, beautiful day. Praise God. And then the next day we did Castle Rock. That was a fantastic adventure too, through the forest, going up and up and up to Castle Rock, from which you can see Albany and the beautiful patchwork of farms around you. Fantastic, eh? Adventure. And when I go on holidays, it's the same. It's adventure. It's all about going out there and last holiday, you know, seeing waterfalls and going on bushwalks and climbing things and falling over. It's all great. But, you know, on our holidays, I've realised this, taking me a bit of time, Colleen is not into adventure all the time. All right, so I have learnt to build into our holidays something called retail therapy. All right, that means going shopping. All right, so we go shopping. So at Cairns, we had this second last day. I thought, to be fair, Colleen, let's have an all day of shopping. She's going, you beauty. I'm going, okay, that's okay. Rightio. So we went shopping and first of all we went out for breakfast, had a lovely breakfast together, and then we went shopping and buying lots of nice presents for the grandkids. Our suitcases were nearly overweight, but anyway. And then we decided after that we'd go over here to do some shopping. And, you know, it's like midday and we're going along when all of a sudden Colleen said, I've got a pain in my leg. Oh, really? And she said, yeah, I think I've pulled a muscle. Oh, no. What are we going to do? I think I've got to go back to the hotel. So we went back to the hotel. She was really, really disappointed. I felt sympathy for her. This day we had planned. Oh, anyway, that's what happened. You can't do too much shopping. But, you know, that's what happened. But I want to just bring from that story, I want to say, first of all, I am definitely not perfect in this, but it's so important that we actually look around and learn to please others. I'll say it again, I'm not perfect in this. But, you know, as I look at that, I can't help but think of how that is something that is meant to characterize every Christian. If we're born of God's Spirit, if we are a follower of Jesus, we are meant to be a people who are other-centered. And that comes out so powerfully in that Bible reading we had just a little while ago. Did you notice that? It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 2, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. What do you think of that? We're meant to be those who please each other, not to live a life where we just please ourselves. And I have had to learn, even in my own marriage, to be doing that better and better as the days go by. And this morning, as we look at these six verses, I'm just going to look at six verses from Romans 15. I look at this, and I've got the title of the sermon as God's Glorious People. And I look at this and I go, well, as God's glorious people, part of our glory is meant to be that we are a people who love to please one another. It also will speak on there about how we are people who persevere in faith, and we are a people who love to praise God with one voice. Those are the three things that I want to highlight to you this morning from Romans chapter 15. And I've been praying and I've been asking the Lord that he would help us as God's people to be a glorious people where we are living these words out. God has done so much for us in Jesus. Jesus has given his life for us. And it is our joy and privilege to pick up in the Word of God how we are meant to be. We don't do these things to be saved. We're already saved through faith in Jesus, but we do these things because we are God's people and we want to love God in return. So let's consider those three things now. And let's begin by looking at how we are to please one another. And I want to go back now to Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And it says there, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." There it is. And that might be a bit strange, that first half of that verse. And that's because you have to understand Romans 14. Romans 14 flows into Romans 15. So let me, in a nutshell, because it was quite a while ago since we looked at Romans, remind you of how the Apostle Paul was addressing a problem in the Roman church and in other churches in that time period. And what it was, there were Christians, and they are considered stronger Christians because they have understood more fully our freedom in Christ. And they knew that they had a right to eat meat, to eat any meat, to eat it. That's fine. We are free in Christ to do that now. But there were other Christians who were considered weaker Christians only because they haven't understood our freedom in Christ. And they might say, oh, you can't eat meat. All you can eat is vegetables. It's not for a diet. That's just what they believe. You only can eat vegetables. And Paul teaches us in Romans 14 that we are to be considerate of each other so that if you believe you can eat meat, you have the freedom to eat meat, you are to forgo it. You are to forgo it so that you might not hurt or wound another believer. There it is. Don't please yourself. Please each other. I'll just read a little section out of Romans 14 to see that very clearly. It's in Romans 14, 15 to 17. "For if because of food your brother is hurt," that is, you eating meat in front of a person who only believes you can eat vegetables, if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, doing the right thing, and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And then we come into Romans 15:1, where it talks about very strongly how we are not to please ourselves. I hope you realize that this whole thing about whether you eat meat or vegetables and how we are, even before that, we are to please each other and not ourselves, this is just like an example. And when I think about it, there is so many countless things that we could consider in regard to how we should be behaving before each other. And the thrust of it all is that in everything we do, we're meant to be pleasing one another. That is how we're meant to be. So let me just list, this is like the tip of the iceberg if you ask me. When I look at my life, when you look at your life, what characterizes your life? Do you serve other people or do you wait for people to serve you? When it comes to your conversations, do you talk about yourself or do you listen to other people and take an interest in their life? Well, what about this? Even in church or during the week, do you wait for people to come up to you and see you or do you go out of your way to see them and care for them and visit them? You see, as God's people, we're meant to be other-centered. We're meant to be selfless. And I want to say to you all, this is not as easy as we think it might be, you know, reading those words, oh yeah, that's easy. No, it's not easy. I want to say it's not easy. You know why? Because we are immersed in a culture that is so strongly self-centered. It's all about me. And tell you what, friends, it gets into you and you start to think like the world. This fallen world will try and mold you into its image. But the Spirit of Christ is trying to mold us into the image of Christ. And in our reading today, I love verse 3. Because verse 3 tells me these words. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. What a verse. As I think of Jesus, I consider how he came into this world, sent by the Father. And as he came and as he declared faithfully the word of God, as he faithfully declared who he is, as he spoke every word that the Father gave him to speak, as he did everything the Father wanted him to do, do you know what happened? He felt rejection. He was hated and despised, but he didn't live to please himself. Otherwise, he would have done something differently. He would have done like what we do, you know, play it easy. But Jesus didn't. He lived to please his Father, and he received great rejection. Here's our example. And I think of the cross, and I think of there how Jesus goes to the cross. And I think of how, again, what a picture of one who was pleasing others. He was pleasing his Father in being an obedient son to lay down his life for us. He was pleasing us, not himself, as he hung there on the cross. The cross, what a cost it was for him, more than we could ever comprehend. I think of him in the garden, so struggling with sweat drops of blood. And he was so distressed and troubled. But even there, his prayer was, not my will, but yours be done. He sought to please others, not himself. And Paul quotes Jesus here because he is our example. That is how we're meant to be. And I think of that another verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where it says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Here's our example. You think of who this one is who spoke those words. For the Son of Man, the Son of Man? He's the one mentioned in Daniel. The one who came up to the throne of God. To the Ancient of Days and who has been made the Lord of all. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of the eternal kingdom of God. And yet it says this one came and served you and me. The greatest king of all humbled himself and served us. He pleased us rather than himself. Oh, stand in awe of Jesus. What an example he is to us. And let's remember again, he's not just our Savior. He is our example to follow. For even Christ did not please himself, and we are to follow his example. But I also want to pick up too here in Romans 15, something else too. What's so good about pleasing others rather than pleasing yourself? Well, in verse 2 it says, each of us is to please his neighbour for his good, for his edification. And so when we are pleasing others, we're meant to be thinking good about each other. We're meant to be thinking about how can I live my life in such a way where I can encourage and build up someone else rather than to tear them down. Oh, we live in a world full of that stuff. Tear them down. Yeah, but as a Christian, in God's household, we're meant to build each other up. That's why we're meant to go out of our way to please one another so that we can build one another up. We're not to tear each other down. And I think of our words. Even our words, we are meant to encourage each other, not condemn. I hope none of us are caught up in gossiping and slandering anyone, but we speak well of each other. That's what it means. To live a life pleasing others and not pleasing myself. We are God's glorious people. May we live as those who please each other. And next, I want us to highlight something else. And the next thing that I want to highlight from verses 4 and 5, I know there's a lot of things to highlight here, but specifically, I want to zero in on that word perseverance. We are to persevere in faith. As God's glorious people, we're to be those who don't give up, who don't throw in the towel, that we persevere And specifically, we are to persevere in faith. Because often the word perseverance is connected to the word faith. Do not forget God. Do not give up believing in Him. Do not lose your hope. But you are to persevere in faith. And when I think of that, I've got to read to you some great words from Hebrews chapter 10. So let me read to you at the end of that chapter into verse 1 of chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews 10, 36 to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says this, "For you have need of perseverance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." I love these words. And then it says, Hebrews 11 verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And then we have the glorious faith chapter. So friends, the Bible encourages us to persevere. To persevere in faith. To take God at His word. To believe in God. To believe His word. And to lay hold of our hope in Christ. Persevere. That's how we are to be. But again, I want to say to you that as I live in this world, in this fallen world, in my own culture, in your own culture, I know just like it's difficult to please others because I am immersed in a world that's about please yourself only, I also have a challenge when it comes to persevering in faith because I have a world that knocks that. It seeks to knock my faith. It seeks to say to me, it's all about living for the here and now and forget about the future. It's all about what I see is what I believe. And you're going to be in a battle. And there are all sorts of things that are going to be thrown at you. And people and Satan's darts. And you need to persevere in faith. Don't you? That's a real challenge. And that is to be something that is meant to be part of our glory. As God's glorious people. We're a people who hold on to the Lord no matter what. That's meant to shine out. You know, I was really impressed back to our holiday in Cairns after Colleen's leg healed. Took a day to heal, and the next day, our very last day in Cairns, we went up to the Atherton Tablelands again. That was great. And this time, as we were travelling around the countryside, we were at a place called Mariba, and we came to a place called a coffee plantation, the Jake's Coffee Plantation. Do you know that? There's a Jake's Coffee Plantation. It's not this Jake's family here at this church. It's a family from Tanzania. And I was really impressed with their story. They had come from Tanzania fleeing with very little because of the difficulties in that land. And they came and they brought their coffee little seeds and they decided to grow a coffee plantation up in the wet tropics of Cairns. And so there they were. They had this great big nursery. They're growing all these coffee plants. And they planted all these coffee plants. And they're growing really well. And as you know, it's coming for the first time. And they're going to do a harvest. Everything's looking great. And then there was a guy called Paul Keating. And we had to have the recession. You know, remember that? The recession we had to have. They got hit with 22% interest rates. It all went downhill. They lost it all. Then for a few years, they had to be in a caravan and just live off the dole. You know what I love about their story? They didn't give up. They got some coffee seeds. They grew coffee plants again. And they started their big nursery. They put out that nursery of all those plants. And they had the coffee plants growing. And the harvest is going to come again. Then something else happens. The Queensland government decided to do a spray of all crops because of some disease up in the area. They didn't do their homework. They didn't check that the coffee plants and this poison don't go together and all their plants died. Everything died. For 9 years, I remember that time, 9 years without compensation. They're living in caravans, living off the dole. But they didn't give up. What the heck? They didn't give up. They got those coffee seeds. They started planting them. Another nursery. They planted it now and it's bumper harvest. I just love that story. They did not give up. And it reminds me of us. You know, we can be knocked. We can be down in the dumps. but we are to persevere in faith. And we have a good reason to persevere. I don't know what caused them to persevere. Praise God, you know, that they persevered, and we had a lovely cup of coffee over there, by the way. But we have great reason to persevere. And I find that here in the Scriptures. Let me read to you verses 4 and 5. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind. Wow. Why should I persevere? Because I've got the Scriptures. That's it. And we're meant to be reading those Scriptures every day. You hear me say that, right? Every day. We're meant to be reading those Scriptures. I love that verse, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. And one of those great things about the Word of God, it's been written to keep you going, to persevere, to hang in there. I love the Old Testament. I love reading the whole Old Testament, and I love beholding the glory of God and seeing great examples of those who have persevered. On camp, we had the privilege to look at the life of Daniel. What a story his is. Don't dismiss the Old Testament. It is fantastic. And then I come into the New Testament, and I get blown away how I am privileged to see the glory of Christ. And again, wonderful, moving examples of those who have persevered for Christ. We need to take in the Word of God. The Word of God will fire you up and help you to persevere in the faith to the end. If you're not reading the Word, you're vulnerable to falling away. You're vulnerable to being a target of Satan and turning away from the faith, not holding on. So you need to read the Word. The passage we looked at many months ago when we're going through Romans, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. We need to grow our faith so that we can persevere. And the other thing in verse 5, I love how not only do we have the word of God, but we have the Spirit of God. God's Spirit says in verse 5, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind. And I love that how God, not only through his word, but by his spirit, he's able to give to us perseverance and encouragement. And you know, I find that is so connected to prayer. I love how, you know, go to the Lord. You have all these doubts, all these fears. You just tell the Lord about it. Have you ever done that? Lord, I'm doubting you, but I'm talking to you. Please help me. And you know, God does. He's always helped me every single time. Even in my most darkest times when I have struggled, I love how there is a true and living God who comes and ministers to my spirit and helps me to keep on keeping on. He helps me to persevere because he loves me and cares for me so much as he does for you. What a privilege it is to come before the Lord in prayer with all our doubts and struggles and to know his ministry in our life. So that we might be his glorious people who hold on no matter what, who persevere in faith. Well, we come to the last thing now, in the last two verses of Romans 15. And let me read verses 5 and 6 together. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that comes out to me in that passage, I love that last bit. We are to praise God with one voice. I love that. Such a crescendo. We are to be a people who come together, who sing to the Lord, who praise his name with one voice. One voice. You ever thought about what God has done? He is the perfect Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Absolute perfect harmony they are. And when I think about what they've done, they have invited me and you into that Trinity. You ought to have absolute reverence for that and profound thanks. And we are expected to keep that unity up in the Trinity. We're God's children now. And that's why there's such a strong emphasis in the New Testament that God's people be a people who are one. You notice the emphasis there in verse 5, it says that we are to be of the same mind with one another. Verse 6, with one accord we are to be. That's how we're to be. Let me read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. It says there these great words, there is one body and one spirit. Just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are meant to be one people. You see that there? And I love the verses just before it because it tells us how we can accomplish our unity. It says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, show forbearance to one another in love and be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're meant to be doing everything we can, not to compromise doctrine, that's not what it's about, but to be united, to be putting things right with each other, to have reconciliation with each other, where we are one. That's what God loves, He longs for. And you know, as we do that, I know that we are fulfilling that beautiful prayer of Jesus before he died in our place, when before his Father he prayed these words, I do not ask my Father on behalf of these alone, that's the 11 disciples, one who had already fallen, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. What statements? Jesus is telling us his heart. He's showing us his heart. He wants his people to be one. We're to be one. We are to work at it, no matter how much effort it takes, that we have harmony and unity so that when we come to church, we sing to God with one voice. God loves unity. And he loves when his people sing with one voice. Now, I'm going to use a bit of a worldly example here. Sorry about this for people who might have a different opinion here, but we went to a Wazzo concert last night. The symphony orchestra was playing, and they were playing the Star Wars music, which is great. But you know, before they played the Star Wars music, the conductor comes on the stage with a scarf around him, and we sang the Eagles theme song. What a picture of harmony. All the instruments are all playing in tune, the Eagles theme song. People around me, I thought they were all Eagles supporters, were all singing the theme song after an incredible win. It's an amazing win. I'm still recovering from it. But, you know, I know in terms of the big picture, I mean, I know that is such a small thing. When I think of who we are, we're not just the Eagles footy team. We are God's people. We're a people of glory, a people that God has taken for himself. We ought to be a people who love to sing. And a people love the Eagles. It's a good footy team because they work together. There's harmony in that club. We're meant to be in harmony that we might sing the praises of our God with one voice. I want you to realize that God is so delighted. He is so pleased when his people come together with perfect harmony and sing his praises with one voice. Let me read to you that closing words here. So that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to do that now. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing to the Lord this lovely song.